Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Above the Bar podcast, a show about a middle-aged father, current events, and how these things affect my everyday life. Alrighty, folks, welcome to another episode of the Above the Bar podcast. On today's episode, we have a Miss Marlisa Brown. She is a registered dietitian, certified diabetes educator, author, professional speaker, and a chef. Welcome to the show, Miss Marlisa.
Thank you for having me.
Today's episode, we're going to be talking about diabetes, especially when it comes to service members. As most of you know, I did 20 years in the Marine Corps myself. I go to the VA for all my medical appointments, and it's a pretty regular thing to see service members that are overweight or talk to guys that are saying, hey, before this, I never had any issues with diabetes. And a lot of it has to do with our eating habits. And Ms. Marlisa is going to talk to us about some of the things we need to know about diabetes. Really, the first question I have for you, and I think most of us don't understand it, is what is diabetes?
Okay. Well, there's different types of diabetes, so I'll go with the most common. Diabetes is a multi-system disorder. It's a combination of your pancreas, your liver, and your cells in your body, and different actions that take place. So some people, their cells become resistant to the insulin that they make in their pancreas. And so the sugar that when you eat a meal, let's say you eat, okay, let's have dinner together right now. So you and I have dinner and we digest our foods, and our food gets moved from our blood cells into our cells in our body, so our body can use it. And it gets moved from insulin, and insulin is secreted from our pancreas. So in some cases, if our cells are resistant, the sugar, which is what the energy source is from digesting the food, doesn't move from the blood into the cells. Or we're resistant because we're not either making enough insulin, or we're overweight and our cells become resistant, or our liver starts dumping extra sugar into our bloodstream. And so the sugar keeps going up and up and up in our blood, and the sugar going up isn't supposed to be there, and then it causes damage. So it's a multi-system disorder, whether it's our cells or our pancreas or our weight or our liver, that causes us to have issues because it's not supposed to be high in our blood the way it is. So there's stuff floating around that shouldn't be there in the levels that they are.
Okay. Now, I always hear about there's different types of diabetes. I've even heard stuff where, like, you can change your diet and it goes away. What are the different types of diabetes?
So the most common form, which is type 2 diabetes, is the one that I just sort of described to you, although some of the same actions happen with type 1. With type 2 diabetes, it's any one of the systems that aren't working properly that causes you to have a high blood sugar. And in the cases where it is your diet, or because you're overweight, or because you lacked exercise, making dietary changes, losing weight, increasing activity will help you either reduce your blood sugars or actually return to normal again. That's type 2. Then there's something called type 1 diabetes, where your body's lost the ability to produce insulin to move the sugar from your blood to your cells. And although type 1 diabetes can present itself with some of the other problems like type 2 has, type 1 diabetes without insulin, you won't survive. If you don't take insulin, you will not be able to continue. And there are also derivatives of type 1 and type 2, but the two most common things that we're going to hear is either type 1 or type 2. And type 2 is usually lifestyle related, and type 2s that have abused it for a long period of time sometimes also lose the ability to produce insulin.
Oh, wow. Now, is there anything... Now, for service members, and I got a kind of an interesting story because you just reminded me of something in a moment here. What are some of the signs or symptoms that, you know, we get out and our lifestyles are now different? Because, again, like I said, I don't have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning for formation, go run 3 to 5 miles, work out all day. I don't have these things in my life. So now that I'm dealing with this stuff, what are are some of the symptoms or signs that would tell me that, hey, your lifestyle has changed. You're no longer doing these other things. If you start seeing these signs, what are some of the symptoms and signs that you might have diabetes coming on?
So the thing about diabetes is it's a progressive disorder. So when it first starts off, it doesn't have many strong symptoms. You may just find that you're a little tired. You don't have as much energy as you used to have. You may have some drier skin. You may have some pain in certain extremities in your body. As your sugars get higher, you might find that you're thirstier than usual. You might find that you're running to the bathroom to urinate much more than usual. You may find that you're hungrier than usual. At some point, if your numbers are getting very, very, very high, you may find that you're eating a lot and you're still losing weight. And you go, wow, I'm losing weight. I don't understand it, because your body's not absorbing. It's like going through this other cycle of not moving the sugars into your cells. So it's usually only when your numbers are high that you'll get very thirsty, very hungry, and be urinating a lot. Before that, it starts off with like, oh, I'm really tired, or, you know, I just don't feel right, or I got a urinary tract infection. Just little things. You get an infection that didn't heal as quickly as it used to. Little things that you might not necessarily realize that they're diabetes, but it's piece of it.
Mm-hmm. See, that's where, when you started saying the urinating, I actually worked with a Marine, and this is kind of what pushed me to this subject, who had an injury, was going to be getting out of the, couldn't work out as much as he used to, and we were in a job field that he wasn't, and he was drinking a lot of Gatorade, tons of Gatorade, but wasn't working out to meet the amount of this Gatorade he was drinking. And he used to always joke around and say he's the only person that ever drank himself out of the service and never used alcohol.
Oh.
He destroyed his pancreas with Gatorade.
Well, it was probably more than just the Gatorade. It was probably, compounded with other things. His blood sugars were probably already high to begin with. I mean, just from having sugar in your diet or having large amounts of sugar, that doesn't make you have diabetes, but it will make your diabetes worse.
Okay.
So he probably had issues going on. You know, there's electrolytes in Gatorade too. There's potassium and sodium added. So he might have had things happening already in his body, wasn't getting physicals or checked enough. And the combination of having a lot of sugar every day, he was probably so thirsty because he probably already had high blood sugars.
Makes perfect sense.
And generally speaking, when you're developing diabetes, most individuals on type 2 diabetes, they may end up with low blood sugar for a period of time before they get high, because what happens is their cells start to become resistant to their insulin. And so their body tries to produce more insulin to move the sugar from the blood into the cells. And these inconsistent amounts of insulin that's being secreted causes lows and highs. And so there might be a variety of, dizzy, lightheaded, headaches, and other things due to low blood sugar until you get to the point where you're not making enough insulin to cross over that insulin-resistant area. So there's a lot of strange things that happen in the body, and it's important. If somebody goes for regular physicals and they don't just do a fasting blood sugar, the doctor does an average blood sugar, which is called a hemoglobin A1C, on a regular basis, they will pick up if there's some abnormalities. But if you don't go for physicals on a regular basis and they're not running tests, fasting blood sugar and this hemoglobin A1C level, it's easy for somebody to be developing diabetes for years before it actually shows up.
Oh, wow. So you could be doing this, going through this cycle for years before it ever shows up.
Well, yeah, because the diagnosis criteria is that fasting blood sugar to be over a certain number. Well, you could go in one morning. Some people are good the 3 days before they go to the doctor, or the 4 days before they go to the doctor, because they go to the doctor. And, you could go in and just happen to have a number that's below a diagnosis number. And, and then you don't go back for a year and a half, you see. And so you might have just been good that one morning when you went in, because blood sugar goes up and down all day long. So if they do the average, the A1C number, if it looks like there was a number of times where your numbers were above an average range, it should come up in that A1C if it doesn't show in the fasting number.
Now, I heard you mention, we've all heard about insulin, and I knew plenty of people that had to be on pumps. I work with some guys that had juvenile diabetes. So they've got the built-in pumps that they have for their insulin. Other than insulin, what other medications may people be subject to having to take over diabetes?
So the juvenile, which you mentioned, is now called type 1 because, unfortunately, people are getting type 1 diabetes as adults now. It used to only happen as kids, and we don't know why that, you know, adults are getting that. But there are a variety. There are so many different medications, and this is the most important thing for you to understand and everybody that's listening to understand, is that each medication has a different action. So if a doctor tries a certain medicine on you and it doesn't work, it might be that that particular medicine isn't taking care of the reason that you have diabetes. So one person whose liver might be dumping extra sugar into their blood, the doctor gives them something like metformin, which is one of the medications which will keep you from dumping extra sugar from your liver a little bit. That might work for that person. But if you're somebody, if you're somebody who's not making enough insulin, then you might need something, and again, you don't have to remember any of these names, but you may need something like a sulfonylurea, which pushes your pancreas to make more insulin. Or if you're gastric, your stomach makes also hormones that help you with diabetes. You may need something like, they have these things called GLP-2. It's like the injection that's not insulin, like you'll hear like Victoza or Byetta somebody will take, which helps with the gastric hormonal response. And that does several things, like suppresses the liver from dumping sugar, maybe helps you lose weight, maybe also stimulates the pancreas a little bit for that first phase insulin response. But let's say you just have so much sugar in your blood you can't get rid of it. They might put you on an SGLT2 medication, which causes you to pee more, which makes you pee out the sugar. But then you got to be careful you don't get a urinary infection. So a doctor may try a medication and it doesn't work. Or it works, but not enough. So then they'll start bundling them. Well, you'll be taking a couple of meds. So one does the liver and one does the peeing and the other one does the hormones. So that's what happens with most individuals. So it used to be the doctor would start you just on one med once they felt you needed it. Nowadays, sometimes they start you on two because they're trying to take care of the problem first and then see what they need to change. In other words, they wanted to get under control faster than they did before. So sometimes you'll find you just got diagnosed and they want to put you on two pills and you're like, whoa, wait a second, I don't want to be on two pills. And the reason is that they're just trying to get it under control so you don't have complications. So, so just to understand that every medication is not the same and no two diabetics are the same. And so no particular meal plan, exercise plan, and medication plan, you can't say, well, my buddy's only doing this. I don't understand, because your buddy may have a totally different problem even though you have the same disease.
See, that's good information, because that was going to be my next question is, you know, so many people, it's the side effect that keeps them from the medication. We watch these commercials and they give you a million different side effects to a medication. And I almost wonder, like with some of these medications, if it wouldn't be all those things you're telling, maybe that wouldn't make some people just change how they live, what their diet is and how they exercise to say, man, I don't want to be on 2-3 different medications. I don't want to have to deal with all these things. Are you telling me I could, you know, and I know this is very simplifying it, but I could add an extra scoop of peas to my dinner and this might help me out, you know, put the extra scoop of mashed potatoes down and add an extra scoop of peas. You know, what are some of the, like, to kind of give people an idea of what they could be dealing with the side effects of the diabetes and the medications, how far can some of this really go for folks?
So I guess you want to, since we're talking about, you know, service and things like that, let's put it into the station of being in the field. And when somebody's trying to say, you know, which is the worst of the two evils here?
Right.
Like you're making a decision, you're making a strategic move, you're trying to decide on if you're going to go running forward, or if you're going to jump in the hole, or if you're going to shoot, you know, what are you going to do? And when it comes to diabetes, it's the question of which is the better of the two choices. What's happening in your body right now, and what can it do to you if you don't take action? And that's exactly how the whole thing is. It's not just take this medication or change your diet, because the timing, some of the medications kick in so many hours after taking it. So you really do need to sit down with a certified diabetes educator and at least somebody that knows something about nutrition. You just can't say, I'm not going to eat carbs anymore, because some of the medications, if you don't eat carbs, you could die because you get low blood sugar. So you need to know what you need to do to fix your particular issue. If you came to me and you were on 5 medications and you said to me, give me a diet, and I had no history of what your numbers are, I would be afraid to reduce certain foods in your diet because you're on so many medications that taking things away could cause you to drop really low. Oh, wow. And a sudden low blood sugar could be more dangerous than high blood sugar because it happens quickly. It's almost like, boom, down you go. So we try to be careful. We try to take small steps. We try to take care of the things that are usually simplistic that work for almost all people, and then build on it based on somebody's particular action. So, for example, if your blood sugars just keep climbing and climbing, then and it's not under control, I would absolutely say you need to at least try medications as part of your regime. And to pay attention to make sure there's no other negative effects that you have. Because if you are one of the people that's susceptible to a complication, the only way that anybody's going to know about it is if you pay attention and let somebody know about it so that they take you off of that medication. Certain things help everybody. Gatorade doesn't help everybody, but you want to make sure you're drinking enough water, because if your diabetes makes you more dehydrated. So fluids is usually encouraged for everybody, unless you have another disease that causes you to not have that. You understand? So we would say, okay, if we're just trying to work on diabetes and there's not another disease like congestive heart failure or kidney failure or something else that would make us worry about fluids, we would say, okay, we want to make sure we have adequate fluids, mostly water. We want to try to move our bodies more, because moving your bodies more make you less insulin resistant. We don't want to go to town and go nuts with the exercise if you haven't been doing it, because you could end up hurting yourself or you could end up getting a low blood sugar. So we move up slowly, baby steps. It's a training camp, boot camp here. We want to reduce the amounts of high fat foods and reduce the amount of carbohydrates that we have, but not completely eliminate them. We need to take a look at what somebody's numbers are and then make changes based on that particular person. So I wouldn't just say check your blood sugars in the morning. I might say to you, test it before and 2 hours after a different meal each day and write down what you ate there, so we could see how your body responds to different combinations of food, so we know how much you can tolerate. You see, it's a dance.
Wow. So I never knew it was this involved. And it's one of the things, and you correct me if I'm not hearing you right, seeing your doctor, going and having your yearly physicals, going and having the simple, silly things that we did in the service, because every year doc would call you and say, hey, it's time for your physical, it's time for your shots, it's time to get tested for tuberculosis and all that, doesn't end when we get out. Go and see your doctor, go have these tests done regularly and keep up on it.
And you know what, we're getting older. As we get older, our bodies are a little less able to tolerate beating up.
I understand that. Oh God, I know that one.
So here you have a body that's not quite as resilient as it used to be, and you're not taking care of it as well as you did when you were able to take more.
So that makes perfect sense to me. You know, it's exactly that. You know, when I joined the service in 94, you know, there a little bump, bruise, scratch, scrape here, I was good within an hour or two, moving right along. Now that same one, I might have to take the day off after that same maneuver or same situation. So that makes perfect sense. And too many guys and gals even, we get too headstrong. We're heroes. We've been there, done that. I'm not going to go see a doc. I don't need to do that till I'm truly hurt. The big term in the service was always, I'm not a sick bay commando, because you don't want to be constantly complaining about things.
And,
you know,
baby, don't be a baby.
That's it. Don't be a big baby. You can handle it. It's just your blood sugar level. Who cares?
It reminds me of like roller skating. When I was a kid, I was a good roller skater. They had the rings when I was young. Everybody's around and around. And they were like wood, you know? And if I fell, I would be really embarrassed. So I'd get up really quick, you know, so nobody would see that I fell, right? Because I didn't want anybody to see that I fell. I got up in the middle of the roller ring really quickly with skates, with no hand railing, quick. I could fall in the middle of that roller rink today without any skates on and not be able to get back up.
I absolutely understand what you're saying there.
And now, you know, I didn't get black and blue when I fell back then. You know, I'd fall and get up, fall and get up. I fall like that now. This could be like a 6-inch bruise, a 10-inch bruise.
Oh, that's so great. Because I understand exactly what you mean. Now, this is the Above the Bar podcast, so I have to ask this question. What effects with alcohol and diabetes?
Let's clarify what you mean when you say alcohol, because you know, one guy came to me and said he doesn't drink during the week, but what he meant was when he has a six pack after work, that's not drinking, and the weekend really is drinking. So you got to clarify that a little for me.
Well, I think you clarified it perfectly for me. So you know, how does alcohol affect diabetes?
Well, it's, you know, alcohol goes through the liver. It does different things to you. And it can do multiple things. Some people just drink alcohol like they just drink straight alcohol. And some people drink alcohol with beer. And some people drink alcohol with mixers, right? So alcohol can actually cause your blood sugar to drop. And somebody will say, well, I could take that instead of my medicine. No, because it doesn't work in a controlled way. But some people have actually ended up unconscious on the floor because the alcohol just kicked in and dropped their blood sugar rapidly.
Wow.
The alcohol piece itself. But then there's like alcohol, you know, vodka and cranberry. Well, cranberry makes your blood sugar go up, or soda makes your blood sugar go up, or sometimes beer could make your blood sugar go up. So depending on what you're drinking, depending if you ate or not. Like if I worked all day long and then I went to have a couple of beers or had a couple of shots of whiskey, you know, I'm more inclined, if I haven't had something to eat with any carbohydrates, if I'm on medications too, to pass out from the alcohol, because not only I might be dehydrated and the alcohol also lowers blood sugar and I haven't had any carbohydrates and maybe my medication's kicking in. So the alcohol, depending on when you have it, what you have it with, and what you did before you had it, could make a difference between you becoming dehydrated, between you getting really low blood sugar where it's dangerous, or to ending up with some sort of a high blood sugar as well. So depending on when you have it and what you had would make a big difference.
Now, I have to say, Marlisa, I did notice that when you were referring to having a drink after not eating all day, it wasn't a glass of wine. It was a couple shots of whiskey. I appreciate that fact.
Well, I mean, I've seen a number of things, and, you know, I have to clarify things to people. I don't like to, like, you know, micromanage, but somebody will come in and say, like, they have a scotch after work, and I got to know, like, you know, was there ice in the glass, and how big was the glass? You know, they said they had one scotch, but then it was like, you know, an 8-ounce glass, and there was no water.
Oh, that'd have been easier just to put a straw in the bottle at that point.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, there's different types of people, and you know, people that have lived a certain way, doing things a certain way most of their life, you know, the last thing they want is for somebody to tell them that what they're doing is not okay. They say, I feel fine, or I'm fine the way I am. And it could become an arguable point. So the question is for each individual that's listening right now, is what's the thing that you don't want to have happen? And what's the thing that you do want to have happen? So like, so for example, if one of the things somebody might say is, well, I don't want to lose any of my limbs, or I don't want to end up, you know, with complications from diabetes. My grandfather had complications from diabetes, or I don't want to end up taking any more medications. Like, what is it that you want to accomplish and what don't you want to do? Like if somebody said to me, like, well, I don't want to not be able to eat pasta anymore. You know, we need to figure a way to make that sort of work in the plan. You see, so you need to have those two things. It's not what I want you to do or what you want them to do. It's a question of what they don't want. I mean, the last thing, you know, it's funny, you know, it's a conversation, is one of the things, like some of the tough, like they would say, hey, I don't care, I'll just die sooner, would be, you know, one of the arguable serviceman points. And the answer is no, they will keep you alive and you will suffer and somebody else will take care of you. Is that what you want?
That's such a great point that no one thinks about. You won't die sooner. You will be miserable and you will stick around and your family will now have to take care of you.
Or some relative that you can't stand will have control.
I love it. And I love your point that, you know, the fact is when you go and see someone who's there to help you, to get you through this, to either reverse your type 2 diabetes through diet, exercise, things that work for you, or control your diabetes. They can't want it more for you than you want it for yourself.
You have to. And, you know, I think of a friend that I just recently lost from diabetes. And, you know, he was in pretty okay. He was heavy and stuff, but he had lost a lot of weight. He had diabetes, but he was like kind of like not taking his meds as he should. And he didn't tell everybody. You know what I mean? He wasn't really, I was going to call his doctor for him. And I was like forbidden to do so. And what had happened was he had a small infection in his leg that turned into an abscess. Mm. And he ended up waking up in the hospital paralyzed from it, because it got into his bloodstream. And ultimately, he ended up with so many complications, he ended up dying. A couple of months after he retired, this all happened to him. And, you know, it was just something, you would have looked at it and said, it's not that big a deal. It didn't seem like that big a deal. He looked like he was okay. He was always moving and grooving. He never let any, you know, grass grow under his feet. He was always doing things. He was always available. He always was go, go, go. So just because somebody feels okay, and just because that they feel like they're managing it better than, you know, their doctors and everybody else thinks they are, it doesn't mean that you're okay. And this guy had his whole life to still really enjoy going forward, and he wanted to, and he fought as much as he could. And so if there's something going on, decide what's important to you. And then try to get some people that will help you, that won't be pushing you around. People that are like, will talk to you and listen to what you have to say, and that will have a conversation with you instead of talking at you.
I think that's that right there, that are talking to you, not talking at you about it. That is such an amazing piece of advice to give. Now, if somebody wanted to contact you, Marlisa, and reach out to you or gain some more information from you, I know you have your Total Wellness.
I'm available. Social media, you can definitely find me, Marlisa Brown. I come up a lot in Google, but I have a business website, which I'm actually just updating, but it's still there. It's got everything on it. There's one major one, which is T Wellness. Just tsandtomwellness.net. And then I have marlisaspeaks.com. And I'm out there, you know. So if you just put in Marlisa Brown and you click, there's lots of Googleable pages. You go to tsandtomwellness.net. If you go to Instagram, Marlisa Brown, the number 8. If you go on LinkedIn, Marlisa Brown. If you go to Dieting Dietitian on Facebook, you'll find me.
That's awesome. Well, I really appreciate you taking this time and talking to us. If you have any questions, please reach out to Marlisa. Also, you can reach us at Twitter, @AboveTheBar4, or Instagram as @above_the_bar_podcast. No idea why I had to put so many underscores in that. This episode will be up at AboveTheBarPodcast.podbean.com. Our Facebook is the Above the Bar Podcast, and our email is theabovethebarpodcast@gmail.com. Once again, Ms. Marlisa, I so appreciate you coming out, providing us with all this information, educating us, helping some service members understand that, hey, you don't have to end up this way just because things have changed for you. Any last parting words for us?
Well, you know, just take it easy, take care of yourself, take things one step at a time, and know that you have the ability to make things happen.
That's awesome. Once again, this is your host, Sean. Be sure to push your stool in.